Book of Deuteronomy chapter 33, and we'll read a few verses of Scripture here in this chapter. Preach a message, feel the Lord's laid on their heart for this morning. When you find your place, if you would, stand and as we read the Scripture, and just in honor of God's Word. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 33, and begin reading verse 1. This is a place where Moses is given a last blessing to the children of Israel. And this is some of Moses' last words. So I thought it might be appropriate, the Lord leading this way, for this to be our last Sunday this year. Deuteronomy chapter 33, beginning verse 1, the Bible says, "And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, The Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words." Let's skip down to verse 12. The Bible says, "And of Benjamin he said, The blood of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders." Then let's pick up down to verse 26. The Bible says, "And there is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and his excellence on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, Destroy them." Amen. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer and the reading of His Word. That's Brother Johnny, if he would, lead us in prayer.
Dear Lord, we thank you for this day and for your blessings, Lord. We pray that you bless again, Lord, as we go into the preaching hour, Lord. We pray that you give the pastor the message you'd have him preach, Lord. Apply it to our hearts, Lord. Again, we thank you for the rain, Lord. We pray that you send us what we need, Lord. We pray that you be with those that are sick and unable to be here, Lord. Pray that you reach down and touch them, Lord. Bring them off their beds of affliction, Lord, that they may be with us again, Lord. We pray that you be with those that just aren't coming to church, Lord. You pray that you put a burden on their heart to be in church, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us, Lord. If there be one here today or that hears this message at some other time, Lord, that may be lost, Lord, we pray that you'd come into their hearts, Lord, if they'd asked you there, Lord, and save them, Lord, for it's eternally too late, Lord. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Here in this passage of Scripture, like I said, this is really, we find Moses closing with a blessing to all the tribes, all the 12 tribes of Israel, and he, some of his last words, if you will. And sometimes I believe you can find out, and you can kind of see somebody's had the right foundation and the right start with God, sometimes by how they finish up. Amen. The last words that we find of the Moses, the last words we find of Paul as he closes and gives that admonishment to Timothy, they're cherished in the Word of God by seeing how that God blessed His men, how that God blessed His people. And I believe that we can finish up right. Amen. We sometimes maybe from the start to the finish, we have some ups and downs and we have some valleys that we go through. But thank God we can get finished up right if we let the Lord help us. You know, the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 1 that he that begun a good work in you will perform it. Amen. I'm glad the Lord will finish what He starts. He started something in our life in salvation. If you're saved, He started something that He wants to finish, praise God. And if we'll just trust Him and believe Him, I believe we can finish, praise God, with flying colors, if you will. In fact, I believe that Moses, as we see Moses closing the writing to the children of Israel. He gives a blessing to all the 12 tribes. And we won't look at each one of these. In fact, it'd be good to read through this whole chapter. But I picked out a couple places here that clearly we see that all along the way, the Lord's presence was with them. And we could probably say the same thing today. We could look back through 2007. We could look back from the time that we got saved, praise God. We can look back throughout our life and say that the Lord has been our guide. We can say that the Lord has been with us. And I mean, if anybody had some ups and downs, if anybody had circles that they went in, it was Moses and the children of Israel. I mean, God led them out and they come across the Red Sea, the greatest miracle that God performed in the Old Testament, and they look back to that over and over again. But they did spend 40 years in the wilderness. They did spend 40 years going in circles, and then God placed them over into Canaan land. Well, you know, I guess that's probably a picture of what we go through in this life. I mean, in this life, this is not our home. Praise God, we're just a passing through. We have something better to look forward to. And I guess we could look at this earth and we could look at this world and everything that we go through as a picture of the wilderness, if you will, as a picture of the world that we're going through. And sometimes we get the old filth of the world on us. Sometimes we get our feet dirty as we walk in this life, spiritually speaking. If you look at the days of Christ, what did they do? They walked around in sandals. They walked around in the and the dirt got on their feet and everything. And many, even folks of a lower class, even sometimes middle class, and of course they didn't have much of that, but a lot of homes had folks that were there as servants that just as soon as they come in, the main job they did was wash their feet. And even if you was of a poor state, what you'd have is when you first got into the house, you'd have a basin of water there where you could wash your feet, where you wouldn't bring the dirt of the world that you got into through the week and through the day, if you will, into your house. You'd get yourself cleaned up before you'd come into the house. Well, that's a good picture of what God does for us. We come into the house of God and God gives us a spiritual foot washing. Amen. We got that filth of the world on us. We went through this world and we've had to, and we've been there, and we've had to hear some things that we didn't like to hear and we didn't want to hear, and we've been some places that we've been in some situations that we wasn't fellowshipping with God's people. But then we come into the house of God and we enjoy the blessings of God, and we come in and the Lord helps us and washes our feet spiritually and refreshes us with God's people. But I tell you what, all along the way, ain't it good? Ain't it good that God said He'd never leave us and He'd never forsake us? Ain't it good that the Lord said, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world? And so as we go through this life, praise God, we can know that the Lord's presence is with us. And I don't believe that we can see it any more clearly than this closing remarks from Moses in the Word of God. In fact, I want to preach about His saints. Amen. His saints. The Bible says here in chapter 33 that He gives this blessing. And the Bible says it's a blessing to the children of Israel. He said that that He came. They came up out of the Egypt with 10,000s of saints. He said in verse 3 that He loved the people, all His saints. He loved the people, all His saints. What a blessing to be a child of God. You know, I said I guess it may have been last Sunday, was mentioned about how that I talked to somebody one time right after they got saved. Excuse me. Talked to somebody right after they got saved, and they were asking me, they said, do you believe in saints? They said, do you believe in saints? They had just got saved, they're saved. They'd been raised in Catholicism and Campbellism, the Church of Christ. But they had just recently got saved. And they didn't know about being a saint of God or a child of God. And I knew what they were talking about. They were talking about some of these folks that's got a little statue in front of their house. And they prayed to Peter and Paul and John and everybody else. And they prayed to Mary. And the Bible doesn't tell us anywhere to pray to any saints. It doesn't tell us to pray to Mary. Amen. She's not a co-redeemer. Amen. She's not a mediator. The Bible says there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Not several, one. And it's only through Jesus Christ that we can talk to the Father. There's only one way to heaven, that's through Jesus Christ. Amen. That's another message, but amen. There's only one way. There's only one mediator. Well, I told her, well, if you're saved, I said, you know what I told her? I said, yes, I believe in saints, because you are one. And boy, it surprised her. But I knew where she was coming from, and I began to talk to her a little bit, and I began to tell her, listen, if you're saved, you're a child of God. If you're saved, you're a saint.
Amen.
Like Brother Herman used to say, you're either a saint or you ain't.
Amen. That's right.
That's right. I mean, you're either saved or lost. If you're saved, you're a saint, praise God. You're set apart. That's what the word means. It means somebody's been set apart. You've been set apart from the world and set apart unto God. This is the ones he is talking to. Amen. We can get excited about this morning because he is talking to you. He is talking to me. He is talking about us. And praise God, we can look and see that, first of all, let me give you a few things here. I've got to get started. Get through with the introduction at 5 till 12. That's rough, ain't it? Got 5 points. I'm going to preach at least more. I'm going to preach more in a minute on each point, okay? Let me say, first of all, his saints are in his hands. Ain't that good? His saints are in his hand. Look there in verse 3. It says, he loved his people. All his saints are in thy hand. All his saints are in thy hand. Boy, God's got a big hand, ain't he? All of his saints are in his hand. In that I see a place of safety, praise God. In the hand of the Lord, I see a place of safety. John chapter 10, verse 27, the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them, where? Out of my hand. Because all his saints are in his hand. All his saints are in a place of safety, praise God. It goes on to say, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. I and my Father are one. What about them birds? What about them idiots that say, well, you can pluck yourself out? Well, you ain't greater than God, are you? Amen. You're either in or you're out. Amen. And praise God, if you're in, you're in a place of safety. You're in the hands of the Lord. It's a place of safety, praise God. God said, no man shall pluck them out of my hand. That's a place of safety in the hand of the Lord. The Bible says in Psalms 138 and verse 7, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. He said, he puts his hand against the enemies. Oh, we see the Lord's hand is a place of safety. The Lord's hand is a place of protection. I believe it's maybe a picture there of him, us being in one hand, and him pushing off the enemy with the other hand. Praise God, we're in his hand, and then he takes the other hand every time anybody comes near us and he pushes them away. Praise God, the Lord, it's a place of safety being in the hands of the Lord, praise God, because he's always there to take care of us. Kids sing the song, he's got the whole world in his hands. Like I said a while ago, we serve a sovereign God that's in charge. He's in control. I ain't worried about how long this earth's going to last. I ain't worried about that green weenie crowd that's so protective of everything, and they think they're the ones that's going to take care of Mother Earth. No, Father God's taking care of it all.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. I mean, we don't need, and I mean, you know, you don't have to be, you don't have to, you know, go down the road and throw cans out and everything and be crazy, you know. But we don't have to take care of everything because I believe God's taking care of it all. I believe it's going to last just as long. In fact, one of these days it's all going to be on fire. This earth's going to be on fire. He destroyed it once with water. He said he'd never do that again, but he's going to destroy it the next time with fire. So everything's going to be on fire one of these days.
Amen.
And they ain't going to put it out. They ain't going to take care of it then. They ain't going to be worried about it then. They're going to be fleeing from the presence of God. They're going to be crying for the rocks to fall down on them. They're not going to be worried about taking care of this earth then. And I don't care who gets a Nobel Peace Prize. What they said about taking care of the earth or anything else. God's in charge. God's in control. He's got it all in His hand, praise God. If He can have the whole world. You see, the problem is we've got away from some things that God taught us and God showed us even as a young child. Tell you what, these young children in here this morning, they ain't got a problem listening to that song. He's got the whole world in His hands. They ain't even got a problem figuring it out. But later on, some folks get older and they can't understand it. They say, that's just a silly old song. That don't mean anything. No, it does mean something. It means God's got it all in control.
Hallelujah. Amen.
We get older and we say, no, it ain't really literally in the hands of God. And He's not twirling everything. Well, that don't matter. He put it on its course, didn't He? According to this book, He put it in place and He put it on its course. And He's in control of it all, praise God.
Amen.
And ain't it good that even better than that, we're in His hands. That's a place of safety. Let me give you another verse about being in His hands. In the book of Solomon, Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 6, the Bible says, His left hand is under my head and His right hand doth embrace me. Ain't that a blessing? I mean, praise God. I'm not trying to be off the wall with this or anything. That ain't the word I'm looking for. But He's got His hands all over me because He's in charge and He's in control. Puts His left hand under my head and He puts His right arm, wraps His right arm around me. Boy, that embrace of the Lord, that's a place of safety, ain't it? You think anybody is going to mess with God when God's got everything in control and God's got His hands all wrapped around you? He's loving you. He's pulling you unto Himself. Praise God, I'm glad I'm a saint this morning. I'm glad I'm a child of God this morning. The Lord says He's got us in His hands, praise God. He's not going to drop us. He's not going to let us go, praise God. He's got us in His embrace, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, I might run out of voice before I get done, but I'm just going to keep on going, all right? You pray for us. Second of all, let me give you this. We're at His feet. We're at His feet. We're in His hands. We're at His feet. Verse 3 says that all His saints are in His hands and they sit down at thy feet. They're in His hands, but also they're sitting down at His feet. And He said that everyone shall receive thy words. Well, sitting down at His feet, if in His hands is a place of safety, sitting down at His feet is a place of learning.
Amen.
Sitting down at His feet is a place of learning. Sitting there listening to what the Word of God has to say. Sitting there listening to what God is trying to speak to us and what God is trying to tell us from His Word, praise God. His saints are in His hands. His saints are at His feet. I believe that sometimes people just, they don't want to be in subjection. They don't want to listen to authority. That's a problem. And that's a problem with this generation that we're raising this day. We've raised a generation to tell them just to, you know, do their own thing, and you know just express their self and everything. And we forgot about authority. We forgot about really. There's always somebody else that's bigger than you. There's always somebody else that's got more authority than you do. And let me say that God's got it all. The Lord's in charge of it all. The Bible tells us He's put down all authority and all power and all rule is under His feet.
Amen.
But you know what? That's not a bad thing. Because when somebody else is in charge, they're the one that's responsible. Amen. There's many times my wife has told me she's not got a problem with being in subjection because if anything goes wrong, it's my fault. I mean, she just throwed the pressure right back on me. She said, I ain't got a problem with it because I'll just turn over you. If it all messes up, it's your fault because, buddy, you was the one in charge. You know what? Having that authority and having rule, that's not really a big thing sometimes if you realize that there's still somebody else you've got to answer to. But it stops with the Lord, don't it? Because we all sit down at His feet. We all sit down in subjection unto the Lord. And the Lord feeds us from His table. What a blessing that throughout this past year, a lot of folks read through their Bible, marked off the checklist, and we got to get some of those in. If you just go ahead and keep up with that. If you get started in January reading through your Bible, and we'll have them send us some more. But several folks checked off all of those days and all of those chapters in the Bible that they read. You know what? They sat down at the feet of the Lord and went through this book. They sat down at the feet of the Lord and went through 66 books of this Bible. And I believe they got something. Amen? I believe you got something good. And you get something good every time you pick up this book. Because you're sitting down at the feet of Jesus. You're sitting down at the feet of the Lord. And it's good to have, it's good to have the preserved Word of God too. Amen? That's the 1611 King James Bible. I'll just throw that in there. You got something else, you got something watered down. But if you got this and you read through this, you got something good from the Lord. And we can always get something good from God. We go through the Bible, we go through the Word of God, and we hear something from the teaching of God's Word. And we hear something from the preaching of God's Word. And every opportunity we have, we listen to these tapes and these CDs. Thank God we hear something from God sitting at the feet of Jesus. Then, not only that, but thirdly, let me say, His saints are by His side. Look down at verse 12. The Bible says, and of Benjamin He said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover all the day long. He said, the beloved of the Lord was set by him. And said, preacher, I thought you said a while ago, we're sitting at His feet. Well, I believe by the time we get done, you're just going to realize that the best place to be is with the Lord. Best place to be is close to Him. Amen. What a blessing to be here this morning. I know some are hindered because of work and some are hindered because of sickness and everything, but I don't know anywhere else I'd rather be. Amen. In fact, I'd rather be here in the house of God and be a testimony of being where the Lord is and where the Lord wants to meet with us than anything else I know. Amen. I mean, it's better because, thank God, we've chose to come alongside with the Lord. We've chose for Him to be by our side. We've chose for Him to walk with us, praise God. He said here, not only we're sitting at His feet, but we're by Him, we're by His side. That's a place of fellowship. That's a place, the Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Well, if we get saved by the grace of God, we confess our sin, then we have fellowship with the Lord. To confess means to say the same word as. Confess comes from two different Greek words. Homologo means same word. You come alongside of God and you say, I agree with you about sin. What does God think about sin? He hates it. And if you hate it too, you can have fellowship with the Lord. And we can walk along with Him. We can have fellowship with Him. The Scripture says in 1 John, chapter 1, verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanses us from all sin. We can get things right and have fellowship with the Lord, and we can walk with Him. We can walk together with Him. We can work together with Him. We can agree together with Him. Ain't a blessing. The Bible tells us about old Enoch. The Bible says he walked with God, and one day he was not. For God took him. I'm in writing some notes, Pastor. I got saved under. I got some notes. I got some notes, Brother Pete. I ain't even preached from them yet. I didn't dig some of them up. I got some. I guarantee you, I wrote them when I was probably about 7 or 8 years old. But I remember, Pastor, I got saved under preaching a message about Enoch. I wrote them notes down about him walking with God. Then I wrote that down. I've heard a lot about that since then. But I like what somebody said one time. He said that there was so much close fellowship between God and Enoch. I mean, there's others that walk with God too. The Bible tells us that Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. But there was so much close fellowship. In fact, that's the problem. When sin was in Adam's life, Adam came to that special meeting place, and God came to that special meeting place, and Adam wasn't there. because sin had separated him from God. But when you get that sin out of your life and start having, you can have fellowship with the Lord and it'll be all right, praise God. But anyhow, Enoch walked with God, the Bible tells us. And the scriptures, there was a close fellowship between God and Enoch. And somebody said one day Enoch was walking with God and they started walking up toward heaven. And the Lord looked around to Enoch and said, "Well, you're closer to my house than you're yours. Why don't you just go home and stay a day with me?"
Yep.
And he's been there ever since. Amen. Because there is no night, praise God. He's just walking along with God. And the Bible says he was not because God took him.
Amen.
You say, "Preacher, what if that happens to me?" Well, it is if you're saved. You're going to go in the rapture, praise God. Amen. We're walking along with the Lord. And one of these days he's going to rapture the church out of here and everybody's going to look around and say, "They was not." Where are they at? They was, but now they was not. Where are they at? They'll be left behind and we'll be enjoying the presence of the Lord because we walk by him in this day. We walk beside of him in this day. Then fourthly, let me say that look down in the also in this same verse 12, it says, "And shall be," it said that they'll cover him, the Lord shall cover him all the day long, "and shall be between his shoulders." Shall be between his shoulders. Not only do I see a place of safety in his hands, a place of learning at his feet, a place of fellowship by his side, but I see a place of strength between his shoulders. A place of strength between his shoulders. Like I said, we're kind of walking through the wilderness in this life. Like I said, sometimes we're in the valley and sometimes we're in some rough spots in this life. But one of these days, this journey's going to be over. And it's going to come to a close. It did for Moses. It did for the children of Israel. It will for us one of these days. Somebody said that there was a man had a dream, and you know the story about the footprints in the sand. They had the dream. And they looked back over their life and seen the experiences of their life. And with every experience, there was a footprints of the Lord and this person walking. But there were sometimes there was only one set of footprints. And the man questioned the Lord, "Why is there only one set of footprints, and why especially does it seem that it was in the rough spots of my life, in the valleys, in the troubles of my life? Why was there only one set of footprints then? Why did you leave me then?" He said, "No, you've got it wrong. That wasn't that I left you, but that's when I carried you."
Amen.
You reckon he put him up? You reckon he put him up on his shoulders?
Yeah, amen.
Amen. And just carried him. Put him up on his shoulders and just took him on through them spots. Don't you reckon he does that for you every once in a while? Don't you reckon he does that for you? He carries you through those spots. Hey, you wouldn't make it if he didn't. We wouldn't, praise God. You might even look at some spots back in 2007. You might look back at some spots right now that you wouldn't have made it through if it wasn't a hand of God on you. If it wasn't God picking you up and carrying you through that. Ain't God good? That place of strength, that place of power, that place of when it seems like we can't go any further, but God just picks us up and carries us. Seems like we can't do anything else, but the Lord carries us on through, puts us on His shoulders and carries us on through. You know, kids love that. I mean, I don't know what it is about it, but kids love you put them up on your shoulders and carry them. Yeah. Now sometimes old Jacob, he don't like it when I lift him up. He don't like heights. He's like his grandpa. He don't like heights. He's the only one who got afraid of heights. The rest of them, they'll climb up stuff and fall off. Where's Jonathan? He did last summer, or during school, excuse me. Climbed up the top of the bleachers and was bouncing a basketball and went head first down on the concrete. There's still a crack over in the concrete at the school. It didn't hurt him at all. But anyhow, Jacob ain't like it. But he don't mind riding on the shoulders, though. He likes that. And I don't know what it is, but you know, ain't a blessing that the Lord says He can just pick us up like we're just a little child, like we're just a little kid. I mean, them kids get up. I don't think I've put Jonathan on top of my shoulders in a long time. But when they're little, they like it. You know what? The Bible says unless we come as a little child, we'll not repent. Bible tells us we ought to come as a little child. And so what a picture of the Lord reaching down and picking us up, putting us on His shoulders, praise God. Well, let me give you this last and I'm done. We see a place of power or strength. We see a place of fellowship, learning, safety. But last of all, look down in verse 27. The Bible says the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee and shall say, destroy them. Not only do we see His, we're in His hands and at His feet and by His side and between His shoulders, but we're also in His arms. We're also in His arms. We sing the song sometimes, leaning on the everlasting arms of the Lord. Thank God I'm leaning on the everlasting arms of the Lord. Sometimes I can't stand, but I'm in His arms. Sometimes I can't go any further, but I can lean on Him and the Lord will help me, because you see, that's a place of rest. We went through the journey and we went through, I imagine the children of Israel could think about going through the wilderness and some of the rough times and some of the temptations, and some of the times they begin to murmur against the Lord, and they knew that was some low spots in their life. But ain't it good that every time something went wrong, God always took care of it. God was always there. He was always ready, because His everlasting arms was always there. The Scripture says that underneath are the everlasting arms. Scripture says in Psalms 89 verse 13, thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Thou hast a mighty arm. Just think about the everlasting arms of the Lord. Think about that place of rest. You say, preacher, it gets tough. It gets rough. And I mean, I've got this happening. I've got that happening. I've got this problem. And you may be facing some things you ain't even went through yet. I mean, you might be going through something right now. I mean, I've been talking a lot about going through some rough spots during the year, but you might be going through something right now that you don't know how in the world you're going to get through it. Well, ain't it a blessing that the Lord is always there, everlasting, eternal. He uses both those words in that verse, eternal God and everlasting arms. He's always there to give us that rest that we need. Underneath are His everlasting arms. You know, and I thought about this. I thought about trying to come up with some kind of acrostic to the word rest, but one thing I think about is His righteousness. And another thing is that He's always there to encourage us. And another thing is He's always there to give us the strength that we need. And then He's always there to give us a testimony to serve Him. Amen. So we can say righteousness, encouragement, strength, and testimony, because the Lord wants us to make it through. I mean, we're going to make it through, but wouldn't it be better to have a good testimony about it? I think it's just so encouraging. I know we're human. I know that, and you know, we still live in this old Adamic body and going back to dust. But ain't it a blessing? Ain't it an encouragement to know and just to realize that, you know, we could have a great testimony if we hold our head up high. And we could have a great testimony if, when we're going through the trouble and the trial of this life, we quit trusting in ourselves and we start trusting in God and believing and knowing that He's able to walk right beside of us with it. He's able to hold our hand. He's able to put us in His hand. He's able to put us at His feet. He's able to put us up on His shoulders, and He's able to put His arms up and under us and carry us through whatever it is. They ain't no use for us to do nothing but smile. And shout and praise His name. I mean, praise God. Somebody said, listen, you may go through some battles, but the war's already been won. You may experience some skirmishes and go through some temptations, but the war was won 2,000 years ago on Calvary. Hallelujah. The victory is the Lord. The victory's already been won. Ain't that a blessing? Amen. I'll ask the musicians to come around with the song. The Lord knows your heart. If you want to come around and pray.